I'd like to turn your attention to Psalms 110. And verse number 3, it says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth." So what it's really saying here is that there is a power in a day, and if you looked at that, it said a day of visitation, when God visits you. And how do you know when he's visiting you? He touches you. You know when God's with you. And then if you go to Isaiah 10 and 3, "And what will you do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will ye flee for help, and where will ye leave your glory?" And then if you'd go to 1 Peter, the second chapter, First Peter 2 and verse number 12. "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." And then one more scripture found in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Lord, we ask your blessing and touch upon the word of God this evening. We're grateful for people in the house of God. And Lord, do something to us and through us. God, there needs to be action based on what your word says. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm so grateful for Sunday, and this church honored my wife and I my 70th birthday. They offered to pay for a facelift and hair transplant because I really want to look good for you, but I really want to look good for God, and sometimes it takes a transplant in order to do that. The title of my message tonight is Pushy, Pushy Pastor. I got dozens and dozens. I got a stack of cards like this on Sunday with all kinds of things written in those cards, but mainly the theme was thank you for being so pushy. Thank you for preaching it straight. Thank you for not changing in any way. And I believe it's important. I really do. Isaiah 56 and 10 says in the Old Testament, "His watchmen are blind, and they are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter." And it's talking about shepherds in the Old Testament who won't open their mouths. Sometimes it's very difficult to speak truth to people because, like Paul said, because I've told you truth, I've become your enemy. And a lot of people don't want to hear what the truth is. But truth protects us. There are people in this congregation who have been successful because they've had pushy parents. You know? So, no, you've got to do this. Well, yeah, but no, you have to do this. And when they're pushed to the point of doing more than what they feel like, then success starts to enter into their life. It just doesn't fall on you, folks. Nobody can say, I didn't get the breaks. Well, you make your own breaks. You make your own benefits from God. First of all, tonight I want to compliment you for being here on a Wednesday night. You don't know how much that means to me, but more importantly, you don't know how much that means to God. I know it takes some effort after a long day and busy schedules, and for years and years, my wife would and I would leave the office and go right to church because there wasn't time for a meal, there wasn't time to go home. Some people relegate church to making an appearance before God and people as something that we need to do. We need to come, make the appearance, but it goes way beyond taking role from heaven or role from your pastor. Every time we walk into church, we are loaded down with many benefits that most people don't understand. You're not leaving here empty-handed tonight. God is putting something within your heart, within your soul. I don't care if a man says Wednesday nights aren't important anymore. That's not what God said. We know we're coming to the end of this whole thing, and God says, gather yourselves all the more as you see the day approaching. Yeah. Hallelujah. Some realize while we are still here, others just aren't aware of the importance. So I'm probably preaching to the choir tonight. That is, if the choir is here. Do you know what? If you have a ministry in this church and you can't come to church, you ought to call me or at least text me, because you have a responsibility to this platform, to the people in this church. If you don't show up for work, I would think you'd call. Pushy, pushy pastor. To me, the greatest part of being apostolic, beyond having the truth that we have, is a divine visitation of God. God manifesting his presence when I know I don't deserve it, but I'm still feeling the Shekinah. A week ago Sunday, when we had Friends Sunday, I just walked through the back doors and I burst into tears. I felt the power of God so strong, and part of it was because I extended myself in order to try to at least invite people to come to church. There's a reward. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Tears streamed down my cheeks, and I haven't even started to worship. I hadn't even started to pray. But God sometimes gets so anxious to bless us and visit us that he just falls on us like he did for the house of Cornelius. Saturday mornings, my wife and I are here relatively early, and many times we help with putting together coffee and all of the things downstairs for fellowship after. And it's just service work, nothing spiritual about it. And I don't look for gratitude from people, but I do look for a manifestation of God. You see, if I had to, I would live for God just based on spiritual truth. Amen. I would do that. And I know this way is right, and I'll live it out of obedience to God, but we don't have to live it out of just the facts and the scripture. Something just as powerful as is available to each of us, and that's the emotion of God, because our God is a very emotional God. Hallelujah. He got married for a reason. We baptized in Jesus for a reason, you see. Hallelujah. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore, but we have to get into his presence before the pleasures kick in, you see. Psalm says, thy people shall be willing in the day of his power, or the day of visitation. You see, when you come to church and you're feeling the glory of God and hearing the word of God, all of a sudden there's a willingness to serve God that you would not have if you didn't show up.
Amen.
And the less you show up, the less willingness you have to serve God. We've all had divine visitations from God, and once you've felt that power in the presence, you just are addicted to it. You want it more and more. Yes, we can have church without God, and I've been in a few of those services where everything was flat. Nobody really reached out and extended themselves to the point where they're saying, God, we've got to have you in the service. People working up each other to try to duplicate what God can do in just one breath. It scares me to think that we can have church without his presence. Now, it's not like God has to travel from heaven in order to get here, you know. We don't have to make reservations, God. If you could just try to get here on time. God is all around us, and he's always on time. He's never late. Of course, he's never early in most cases. The question is, will he make his presence known to us by touch, by healing, by power, by a demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit within the time allotted? A divine visitation of God could happen at any time, and we should expect God to be there. Not that we have to call him into our presence. He is always there for us. We're not always aware that he's there. It's a burning bush calling to Moses. It's a frightened Gideon hiding behind a mill, grinding out some grain and seeing an angel. It's Isaiah mourning the death of an earthly king, Uzziah, only to see heaven's king open up and see God high and lifted up. It's a bright light from heaven on the road to Damascus, and Paul was never the same after he had a visitation from God, and he told everybody about the visitation from God, and because he told everybody about the visitation, God took him up to the third heaven. I've never got there. Most of you have never got there, but maybe it's because we don't get excited about the visitations that we have.
Amen.
Took him to a paradise, heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And you know what? It took him all the way to the place where he left this world. You see, if we have a visitation from God, we then suspend the law of nature.
Amen.
And all of the things that weigh on us are now released.
Amen.
Because we have touched heaven and God has touched us.
Amen.
And we experience healings and miracles and the power of God that overrules the world and the conditions that we're living in. That's why we need to get into the presence of God. Because I can't deal with the world. I can't deal with the law of nature and gravity and getting old and having problems with people. Not that I ever have problems with people. I think subconsciously we relegate miracles and great wonders of God to the days past. There are some who want to modernize our services in order to, you know, appeal to the seeker. The sinners, there aren't any anymore, just seekers. Because we don't want to offend anybody. What happened to the good old sinners? I don't know. They're just not around. But when we start to cater to people in the world rather than what God wants us to do, then I'm afraid we're not going to have any visitations any longer. Hallelujah. It's not us waiting for God to make a move. It's God waiting for us to make a move. God's design for this evening's service is to do great things, and some of us are waiting for Sunday morning because more people will be here, and the people who will come on Sunday morning perhaps aren't as spiritual as those who come on Wednesday nights. Pushy, pushy pastor. The expression, the day of visitation, is found a number of times in the Old Testament and New Testament, and the word visitation literally means inspection. I hesitate to bring up my army days, but every morning we stood in formation and there was an inspection to see if we were dressed properly, we were shaved properly, we looked according to the military code of standards, you see? And when we come, believe it or not, God's saying, I'm going to do an inspection of everyone who comes into my house. He will, I'm telling you. As a shepherd would inspect his sheep, or a general would inspect his army, Job recognized that God came to inspect him. God was able, after the inspection, to say to the devil in Job 1 and 8, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" See, he did the inspection. And he saw, after the inspection, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then in chapter 10 and 12, Job later said, "Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." Listen, my visitation has preserved my spirit. Could it be that when we come into the house of God, because we have a visitation from God, that it would preserve our spirit, our spirituality? Oh, I could go out in the woods and worship God. Yeah, but that's not going to do it. God says there's something special about gathering ourselves together. Amen. Could it be that every time God manifests himself to us, it preserves us? Do we realize that as we gather ourselves together for church services, we are under inspection from heaven? I've talked to people who have come and visited us from other churches and even in Pentecostal churches, and they look at us and say, "Wow, well, you people really get dressed up." Well, why not? There's an inspection going on here. Hallelujah. We're different than the rest of the world. We're different than the rest of the churches. We're not a casual a church that come before our God. Can you imagine if the high priest went into the holiest of holies with a pair of shorts and a tank top? God would have killed them by the curtain. Pushy, pushy pastor. I really want to be ready for the inspection. You know, and I want to pass the inspection here, or I may not pass the inspection there. I want to feel his touch of approval on me all the time. But I must make myself ready for inspection. Revelation 19 says that his bride has made herself ready, which is the righteousness of the saints. You see, when God comes to us in a day of visitation, his spirit brings a transformation like nothing else does. And it's not a one-time transformation, but it's a process that we're in. And he transforms us and transforms us and transforms us. It's the washing of the the Word in our life. When we were filled with the Holy Ghost, our lives were transformed, but it's supposed to continue. It doesn't just stop there. We have little transformations every time we feel His presence. Several things happen. Revelation crowds out ego and self. And we don't consider ourselves that great once we're in the presence of someone who was much greater than us. Situations are unpredictably solved because we got into the presence of God. We can work our work and do our strategies and nothing gets done, but in the presence of God, all of a sudden God works out and resolves the situation. Suddenly, doubt disappears. Struggles are won, tempers are conquered, habits are broken. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody who have come in, they were addicted to some kind of drug or alcohol or smoking, and they left this place without any kind of withdrawals whatsoever. It was because of a visitation of God that took it away. And every time we come in and have a visitation of God, there's a fresh awareness that God is among us of a truth, you see. Where if you stay away long enough, you will wonder. What did David say in our scripture text? It said in Psalms 110 and 3, in the day of God's visitation, His people will be willing. They will be clothed in holy attire, in a New International Version. In His visitation, people see God in a new way and gain a new sense of His greatness. And we are told every day that we need to pump ourselves up and we need to advertise who we are. We need to present ourselves before everybody else and lift ourselves up. And when we get into the presence of God, God pushes that ego and our self-worth down, and He is high and lifted up. We are seized with a fresh revelation of holiness. If you spend a lot of time in the world, holiness doesn't seem to be important. Sometimes even in other churches, holiness is not important as Isaiah did in Isaiah 6. He saw the Lord high and lifted up and he said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't need to even stand before God. We get a sense of awe and a depth of worship that is overwhelming. Amen. A pastor can say the words, but it's God's presence that motivates people to do what the words say. Amen. You can't force anybody to do anything, but in the presence of God, you say, yeah, I want to do that. Amen. In the day of God's visitation, getting to church on time isn't a problem. Texting and talking isn't a problem. God arrests our attention. When God visits us with His presence, gossiping is replaced with witnessing. Our talents are dusted off. Our giving becomes cheerful and exciting. Our witnessing becomes electric. People are stirred and apathy dies, and all of a sudden there's a renewing of spirit and a stirring up of the gift that is within us. When God visits, we grow keenly aware of His purpose and what He wants from us. Amen. God doesn't want us to walk around aimlessly wondering, what does God want me to do? God has specific, prescribed things for each and every one of us. And when we're attuned to His visitation, God points out the people that we need to talk to. He allows us to see the inadequacies of others that we need to pray for. We then offer ourselves willingly. Calendars are laid aside. Misplaced priorities are found. We cry like Isaiah cried, here am I, send me. What is it that you'd have me to do, Lord? Anybody want a visitation from God? Anybody want to be stirred up again, electrified? Hallelujah. It doesn't come in an evangelist suitcase. Revival starts in your heart, not with somebody else. So how do we receive that divine visitation? Do we send him an invitation? Well, yes. We call on God. We have the greatest invitation of anybody. You got to use the name Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I could spend days writing out invitations but not have any names on it. What good would that do?
Oh,
you know? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in most cases, the first step is ours, and we have to seek his face in worship. Our worship, not other people's worship. You know, sometimes we neglect to take the responsibility of praying and worshiping for ourselves. You know, pray for me. Well, did you pray for yourself? You know? Oh, I love when what's-his-face does that worshiping thing. No. Why don't you step out into the aisle once in your life? Get beside yourself. Try a little run around this place and see what happens. You know, we are Pentecostal. We shouldn't be shocked by somebody who wants to do that. Hallelujah. I still miss Tom Grueling and his little dance that he did right over there in that corner. You know, we need to have some inspiration, and maybe all of us need to inspire everybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We search his word, we wait on God, and we prepare for inspection. So if inspection isn't important, but we just come and worship just any old way, God's not going to be in a visitation of that either. See, he wants to come, but he wants to come and he wants to inspect his church to see that, have you considered my servant?
Amen.
Righteous in all his ways. See, you can't just do the worship thing without doing the inspection thing.
Amen.
You see. And some say, well, that inspection thing, God doesn't inspect anymore. He just wants something really exciting. And, well, I'm sorry. You can have a Super Bowl here, but we won't have a Super God here without an inspection. And then there are times when God comes to us when we least expect it. And sometimes that's my favorite time with God. When I didn't desperately cry out to God or have a great need for God, and he comes before we call, before we get to church, when we aren't even thinking about God, and we know that he's thinking about us. Isaiah 65 and 24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Oh my. The words haven't left my mouth, and God has already answered the prayer because he's done an inspection and he finds us worthy to respond to. But don't let some dumb dog who won't open their mouth say, "Everything's fine, you don't have to worry about the inspection anymore." And then you're wondering why God isn't responding. Hallelujah. I don't want to go through a lifetime of church without God responding to my prayers because somebody told me it wasn't important. But even then, God answers those who have prepared for him. Noah finds grace when everyone else finds destruction. Jacob wrestles with God because he sent others ahead and he stayed at the altar to get hold of God. You know what? I would love on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening to have a whole group of people who are so defiant that I'm not leaving the altar. I'm going to get a hold of God. Go ahead. Go. I'm staying here because I've got a situation. That's what the early church did. Anna and Simeon prepared all their life to be able to see the face of Messiah before they died. And God let them see him. Hallelujah. We must make room in our lives for that divine visitation, more importantly than a trip to the gym,
Amen.
A daily walk, a morning coffee.
Amen.
When we get our priorities straight, then the visitations start coming.
Amen.
The only difference between what you feel here and what we feel at home is our laying aside everything for a little while and focusing on God.
Amen.
And that's what happens in church services.
Amen.
Everybody is saying, no, I'm not going to walk over to the refrigerator. I'm not going to just check my phone to see if I got any emails. No, we're in church, and what we're doing is we're focusing this time on God. And God says, hey, well, I inspected, and I'm coming, and I'm going to visit you. But at home, we're distracted. And we don't have anybody to provoke us. We don't have, I'm not coming to your house. You don't have a pushy pastor in your morning. Glory to God. If we'll prepare a place for God in our day and in our heart, you know God's going to show up. God has never refused an invitation. The first miracle was at a wedding. He got an invitation. Just ask him to come, and you'll have a visitation from heaven. I got a plaque for my birthday from someone, and it said, if you feed them, they will come. So that's my agenda. I'm going to try to feed the best that I possibly can, because I know if the word goes forth unhindered, hallelujah. It's time for fall cleaning.
Amen.
Time to clear out the gutters. I'm not talking about your house. Focus on a new day. Make room for prayer.
Amen.
They had no room for him at his birth, but the church, well, we need to demonstrate how welcome God is in our life, and that he can do an inspection, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. And he'll be wherever we go, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, not only for us, but the hope of glory for others that are around us. Are you ready for your day of visitation? Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song, I just keep falling in love with him. Over and over again. He just gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. And I'm telling you, folks, we need to keep falling in love with him. We can't just hang on to old experiences or old letters that we've got. We got to renew that experience over and over again. Hallelujah. Because in those visitations, we're revived. The altar's open. Would you come?